Afternoon. And I too feel sorry that it is the last time for this trip that I can say good afternoon or good evening, because we have had, as you, most of you know, a most wonderful time and a most wonderful work these past couple of months. If out of all that has been given to us in our work here, if there is one thing only that you can remember, if there is only one thing that you can carry with you, please let it be this. The greatest spiritual blessings, harmonies, healings that are brought into our experience are not brought about so much by what we know of truth, but rather by what degree of silence we can maintain. What we know of truth, that is the letter of truth, is really very simple, not complicated, and acts only as a sort of foundation for the real demonstration of spiritual living. For instance, in our human life, we have been brought up to believe that there is a power of good and that there is a power of evil. And we are always trying to get some power of good to do something to a power of evil. But as you enter the spiritual life, you become aware of the fact that all mystical teachings, and especially that which is revealed by Christ Jesus, is based on resist not evil. Do not take thought, for who by taking thought can accomplish even the little things of life? And so, it becomes a part of our wisdom to live insofar as we can in the knowledge and in the realization that we are not seeking a power, not even a God power. We are rather realizing the non-power of whatever it is that is presenting itself to us as some kind of a power of sin or power of disease or power of lack. So that actually the major point that anyone need to constantly remember, everyone must constantly remember when they're on the spiritual path, is that you are not seeking a power, not even a God power, to do something or to do anything for you or to you or for anyone else or to anyone else, because not that you don't need God power, but that God power is forever present. God power always is present, and no one can make it present by praying for it. No one can bring the power of God to bear by asking for it. No one can bring the power of God into their experience by sacrificing or by being good or by observing rites or rituals or fast days or feast days. And the reason is that God is omnipresence. And that means God is always present. The very place whereon thou standest is holy ground because the presence of God is there. And so it is that you do not spend time in wondering how to reach God or how to bring God into your experience or how to make yourself worthy of God, but you do live and move and have your being in the realization that where I am, God is. And this makes no difference if you're sick. It makes no difference if, for some reason, you are momentarily sinning. It makes no difference if you are momentarily in lack or limitation. It makes no difference even if you are dying. Right where you are, God is, and your function merely is to keep remembering that. Not to make it happen. Now, I'm stressing this for you so that you will never forget that you do not have to seek God. God is already closer to you than breathing. God already is omnipresent where you are. And more than this, God is the all-knowing intelligence. And therefore, God already knows your need. So don't spend any time, don't waste any time in telling God what you need, or when you need it, or how much of it you need, because you are wasting time. God already knows your need. And the Master continues, it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And so the question may arise in your mind, why then, if God is present, if God already knows my need, if it is God's good pleasure to give me the kingdom, why am I not experiencing it? And there's only one answer, and that answer is that instead of recognizing that God is and God is where you are, instead of recognizing that God already knows your need, and instead of recognizing that it is his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, you are way off here somewhere trying to find God, trying to get God power, trying to find out what you can do to bring God into your experience. And so you're looking in an entirely different direction. You're looking where God isn't. That is, where God isn't so far as your immediate demonstration of harmony is concerned. Another thing, you are perhaps looking to God to give you health, or to give you supply, or to give you companionship, or to give you home. And of course, if you are again praying amiss. Master is very clear on that point, that you are to take no thought for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. All that you are to do is to abide in this word, and let this word abide in you. What word? The word that God is, and God is where I am. And God does know my need, and it is God's good pleasure to give it to me, and my function is only to relax, to be a beholder, and to let God's grace unfold. You see, God being infinite, God cannot give you anything but Himself, God. And it is when you are praying for something other than God that you are again praying amiss. And when you pray to God for health, and when you pray to God for peace on earth, and when you pray to God for supply, or for home, or for companionship, you are praying amiss. You are living back several thousand years with the pagans who started this whole practice of that kind of prayer in just that manner. There is only one legitimate thing to pray to God for, and that is for the realization of God, for the realization of God's presence, for the realization of God's power. It is legitimate to ask God to give you Himself, but nothing else. As a matter of fact, there is nothing else. When you have attained the realization of God's self, you will find that the Master was very wise when he said that all these things will be added unto you. Only be sure that you are not taking thought for these things. Your whole concern is for the understanding of this. Where I am, God is. And God knows all about me. He knoweth my need before I do. It is His good pleasure to give me the kingdom, and I will rest in this word. I will relax in this word. I will not seek to use a God power. I will not seek to influence God. So it is then. When you do this, you are fulfilling the terms of prayer. The prayer which is a realization of God's presence and God's power. Naturally, you will find that as you go through your days, that discords will present themselves to you, sometimes as erroneous persons, and you will be called upon to realize that in the presence of God, there is only the person of God's creating. Sometimes evil will present itself to you as some kind of a negative law. Law of matter, law of weather, law of climate. And it will be necessary for you to know that because God is spirit and God is infinite, that the only law must be spiritual law. But you see, these are just a few simple statements, yes, statements of truth, which every truth student must know and must realize. But beyond that, there is very little of any intricate or difficult or deep nature that one has to know so far as knowing truth is concerned. But where the difficult part comes in, and where the element of time comes in, is that we need to develop a state of consciousness which enables us to be inwardly still. Now, this may surprise you, but this is true. Except for this realization of the true nature of prayer, except for this understanding that God does not have to be appealed to or used, except for this understanding that God is where I am, and all that God is where I am, And all of the presence and all of the power of God is where I am. And the substance and the law of God is where I am. Aside from this, silence is far more valuable than all of the speech and all of the teachings that can be given. That is why an individual as a practitioner can do far greater healing works than as a teacher. The reason is the teacher is constantly being called upon to talk and to say things, and really it amounts to nothing what they say. It really deflects from the fact that inwardly, God is, and to be able to abide in that is far better than all of the teaching in the world, far better than all of the talking in the world. Because it isn't what we say that does the great works. It is only that inner, quiet, peaceful realization that does the work. And if we know the first simple rule, which is to be sure not to reach out to God for something, be sure that you don't believe you have to have a God power, be sure that you realize God does know our need, be sure that you constantly are realizing that our only need is for the realization of God's grace. Aside from that, the less knowing you do, the less talking about what you know, the better off you are. And this is true of us as teachers, because when we are away from teaching, we are living the closest to our spiritual center, because we're not out here speaking with the mind and thinking through the mind and saying things that sound foolish to us. Why do they sound foolish to us? Because it must be so clear to everyone who has had the least bit of experience that God isn't reached through speech. God isn't reached through thought. God is only reached through silence. And therefore, the only legitimate excuse there is for voicing truth is in teaching it. But otherwise, there should be no reason for voicing it. And there should only be enough reason for remembering a little bit of it so that we can settle down together in conscious union with God and thereby in union with our good. Now let us see how this works. Ordinarily, we have many have been taught that when you wanted something, you prayed for it. If you needed a new home, you prayed for a new home. Or if you were a metaphysician, you did mental work for a new home. Or you did some realizing about a new home. But in the infinite way, or any other mystical teaching, this would never be the truth. You would never pray for a home. You would never do mental work for a home. And you would never take thought about attaining or acquiring a home. What you would do is you would settle into a meditation. And if you found it difficult to get still, you might start off with realizing there can only be one home, because we all dwell in God. Dwell, live in God. We live and move and have our being in God. Who else would want to live any other place? Who would want any other home? God forbid that I should ever want any other home than to make God my abiding place, my dwelling place. Heaven forbid that I should ever desire to be any other place than hid with Christ and God in the spiritual home, the spiritual temple, the bosom of the Father. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High will always have a beautiful home. And so, as we ponder for a few minutes this idea of my real abiding place, I get very still, because now I have no desires. Now I am not struggling to get something. And once I've released my desire for anything in this world, I will automatically find myself at peace. And then in quietness and in stillness, I will feel my oneness with God. I will have the actual feeling that where God is, I am. That I am in His presence. All that the Father has is mine. I and the Father are one. And that will constitute my prayer or meditation or treatment. And then you'll find that having made your oneness with God, having attained the realization of your oneness with God, lo and behold, that which we call your physical dwelling place, your house or human home, will appear. You won't have to chase it, it will chase you. You won't have to be looking for it, it will run around looking for you until it finds you. So it is, supposing that our problem were one of employment, whether for ourselves or our patients or members of our family. The one thing we would never do is pray for employment, nor do mental work for employment. But again, we would turn to the Father within. God is infinite, therefore, God must be the only employer, but since God is infinite, God must also be the only employee. And therefore, employer and employee are not two separate beings, separate and apart from each other. God is both employer and employee, and these are one. And not two. These are inseparable and indivisible. And so it is, the Father says, Son, all that I have is thine. So whatever employment the Father has, the Son has. And this is not in the future tense. This is in the present tense. All that the Father hath is mine. All of the activity, all of the employment, all of the recognition, all of the reward, all that the Father hath is mine, for I and the Father are one. We are not two. We are not separate and apart from each other. We are not even divisible. We are indivisible. We are one. And so employer and employee is one. And employment and employee is one. And then we settle again into our silence, and we realize, here where I and the Father are one, and in this oneness is my completeness. And then we'll find, just as we did with the house, the home, we won't have to chase after employment. Employment will chase after us. Why? Because it is already a part of our oneness with God. In our oneness with God, since we are inseparable from God, we are inseparable from our good. So if we are inseparable from God, we're inseparable from our dwelling place. If we're inseparable from God, we're inseparable from our employment. If we're inseparable from God, we're inseparable from our supply. Let us see. Supply. God is my meat, my wine, my bread, my water. Well then, God can't give me meat, bread, wine, and water, since God is bread, meat, wine, and water. And so when God gives me himself, God is giving me bread, meat, wine, and water, because God's selfhood is my food, my clothing, my habitation, my transportation. In other words, when I have the conscious realization of my oneness with God, I have my supply. Therefore, to pray for supply, or to do mental work for supply, or seek God's power to get supply, would actually act as a barrier to our demonstration of supply. The only demonstration of supply we can make is when we make the demonstration of conscious oneness with God. Health? How can you pray for health when God is the health of your countenance? Therefore, God has no health to give. God is itself or himself the health. Therefore, when you get God, you have your health. Therefore, any prayer for health is a waste of time. Any mental work for health is a waste of time. The only real demonstration of health that can be achieved, permanent health, spiritual health, is by achieving God. Now, God already is, and God already is closer than breathing. Therefore, you can't really achieve God. You can only achieve the realization of God's presence. God's presence is always with you. Therefore, it must be realized. And so it is. When you stop trying to get health and consign that to the ancient pagans and realize I have only one thing to get, and that is a realization of God, then you settle down again. And you really marvel what happens to you inwardly the very moment that you stop your desire for something external. You will be amazed at what happens to you the very moment a feeling comes within you, I'm seeking nothing outside of me. Nothing and nobody. I have no desires out here. My whole desire is within, that I may know thee. Whom to know aright is life eternal. Here and now, I can give up all desire, except the desire to know thee aright. For in knowing thee aright, I am one with my entire demonstration of life, harmony, wholeness, completeness, and perfection. And watch this. Watch this. And I can tell you right now, as it is telling me inside, that this could not have been said to you before today. It has taken all of the work that has been going on here these months to be able to come up to this place of realization and say to you, you have the capacity right now to drop all of your worldly desires. You have been brought up to this place of realization where you can drop the desire. You have the capacity. Probably weeks ago you might not have had it, many of you, but now you have it. All that has taken place these past months has brought you and lifted you into a consciousness where you now have the capacity inwardly to close your eyes and say, just think, the whole kingdom of God is within me. I do not have to look outside to man whose breath is in his nostril. I do not have to look outside to princes. I do not have to look outside to person, place, thing, circumstance, or condition. I do not even have to go to holy mountains or holy temples. I do not even have to go to holy books. All I need now is already within me. All that I ever hope to achieve by prayer, by study, by meditation, all of this is now within me. And I need not look outside. I need not attempt to demonstrate. I need not attempt to pray. Now I can commune within myself with God. Release myself from all desire, from any earthly thing. You can always know whether you're praying aright. Do you have in mind the attainment, the accomplishment of an earthly thing? Then you are not praying aright. Each one has this for a yardstick. What am I desiring? What is the object of my prayer? And if it is any earthly thing, if it is anything in the external realm, you are praying amiss. But when you are praying and saying, ah, I know what my desire is, to know thee aright. My desire is to realize thy grace, for thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. My desire is to abide forever in the secret place of the Most High. My desire is that I may know thy will. Let the meditation of my heart be satisfactory in thy sight. And the meditation of my heart can only be satisfactory in the sight of God when my meditation is a continuous song of praise and joy, that the kingdom of God is within me. How love I thy laws, spiritual laws. How love I thy grace. How I love to tabernacle with thee, to live and move and have my being in an inner realization that thou art ever with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thou leadest me beside the still waters. Thou makest me to lie down in green pastures. How I love to tabernacle with thee. Oh, that my life may be lived in thee, for thee, with thee, that I may always be satisfied with thy grace, with thy great gift. And thou hast given to us the sun and the moon and the stars and the tides. Thou hast given to us the earth and all that is therein. Thou hast given to us dominion over all that is. What more can anyone desire? What more can anyone want than the realization of this? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and son, all that I have is thine. How can I then desire anything or anyone? How can I desire any condition or any circumstance? I can abide in the center of my being and with gratitude realize in quietness and in confidence is my peace. Not in taking thought, not in seeking a God power, in quietness and in confidence, I find my peace. I find my rest. I find my abundance. I find my companionship. I find my home. Only when I have God does my human companionship appear harmoniously. Only when I have God does my human home appear. Only when I have God do I have abundant supply. Only when I have God do I have health. With all thy getting, get God. And yet, not get God, for you already have God, for God is already within you, and you are already in God. But attain the realization of God's presence. You already have God's presence. Where you are, God already is. But your conscious remembrance of that brings it into manifestation. Seek me with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself, and all these things are added unto you. Only be sure you are not seeking these things. Train yourself for a while within. I have no desires but the desire to know God. I have no desires but the desire to walk with God, to serve God, to love God. I have no desire but that God's grace may be revealed to me, that God's laws may be made known to me, that God's will may be expressed in me. All of my desires, all of my longings, all of these have to do with God, not with anything or anybody external to me. I already have the kingdom of God within me. What more can I have? And as I abide in that, and then be still, the feeling of God's presence comes alive in us. An awareness that we are one with God, a feeling that God is on the field, and then we have nothing more to do. The enlightened consciousness that we have attained itself is the health and the bread and the meat and the wine. It isn't that you gain enlightenment and then do something with it. When you have enlightenment, you have nothing further to do, for it is doing and being. You are but the beholder of what this light is doing. And the light is attained by you in that moment. When you have no external desires, when you have the knowledge that it is only God's grace, God's will, God's law that you are desiring to know, it works like a charm that the moment you stop chasing something, it begins chasing you. The very moment you stop desiring something, it comes into your experience. The very moment you stop running after something, it begins running after you. And as your desires end for anything and anybody in the external world or any condition, and you begin to live this inner life of conscious oneness with God, you'll find that your external life is taking care of itself, or rather, that there is an invisible presence, something that you can't see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, yet it is going before you to make the crooked places straight, to prepare mansions for you, to bring unto you your own. It is very much like Burroughs' poem, Waiting, that I shall not seek this or seek that, because my own shall come to me. Ah, but the world is not finding that my own comes to me, because the world has not realized what Burroughs knew, and perhaps thought everyone else knew and so didn't explain, that his own kept coming to him because he was tabernacling with God always. He lived his whole life in an inner communion with God, and that was why externally he had to make no efforts to attain anything. He could sit by the stream and wait for his own to come to him. So it is. We know now that the human world can't wait for its own to come to it, because what it wants isn't good for it, and God won't bring it. But when we no longer are wanting that which is external and that which we believe is our good, when we are willing to leave our desires to God to fulfill and abide only in the desires for spiritual realization, then you will find that your own will come to you, your dwelling place, your transportation, your food, your clothing, your housing, your employment, your investments, whatever it is of a rightful nature that must be a part of your human experience, you will find comes. Because there is a law. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. The Word, the Spirit, God, becomes flesh, becomes experience, becomes form, becomes effect. But not by virtue of what you or I may do, merely by virtue of our inner life of contemplation, our inner life of realization, our inner life of living, moving, and having our being in God, and having God live and move and have his being in us, so that we are eternally one in realization. We are already one in relationship, but without the conscious awareness of it, it is as if there were no God in our experience. Conscious awareness, conscious knowledge, conscious realization. Always remember these important words. You must be conscious of something for it to manifest in your life. Therefore, if you want God and God's grace to manifest in your life, you must be constantly, consciously aware of God's presence. Certainly, there are people out in the world who want only money, name, fame, and they go out struggling for those. And if they are willing to devote their 12, 14, 16 hours a day to the attainment of wealth, fame, fortune, whatnot, they'll gain it. But look how many of them have, and then found after they attained it that it was dust, that it brought no satisfaction, no peace, no comfort, sometimes not even safety or security. Whereas those who spend only a few hours in the day consciously aware of an indwelling presence, consciously aware of God as the substance of their good, consciously aware of God as the source of peace, of safety, as security, God the high tower, God the fortress. These people never have to seek for safety cellars. They don't have to seek for concrete shelters. God becomes the high tower and the fortress. God cannot give safety and security. God can only give himself. But in God there is safety and security. God cannot give peace to anyone. God can only give himself. But in God there is peace. In thy presence is fulfillment. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. And so do you not see that the world has gone wrong seeking peace, seeking safety, seeking security, seeking home, seeking supply, seeking companionship, when all of the time the whole need was to seek God, to seek him with all the heart, with all the soul, with all the mind. Seek the realization of God's presence. Seek to know him aright. Turn within over and over and realize the kingdom of God is established within me. I do not have to go anywhere, seek anything. I need only know. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I, who am speaking to you from within, I am he. Be at peace. Fear not. I am he. I am with you. I was with you before Abraham was. I will be with you unto the end of the world. Why seek anything? Why desire anything? Why pray for anything? I am here in the midst of you. And I will give you all things, more than you can ever yourself ask for or know or want. But leave it with me. I am here in the midst of you. Trust me. Trust me. Listen for my voice. Be still and know that I, here in the midst of you, am God. Be still and know that I am closer to you than breathing. I, God, am closer to you than breathing. You need not fight. You need not struggle. Not by might. Not by power. By my spirit, the me that is within you. Relax. Sit back. Let go. Be quiet. In quietness and in confidence, everything will be revealed to you. In my presence, there is fulfillment. Where my presence is, there is peace. And there is safety and security and harmony. The grace of God is functioning within you. Rely on it. Thy grace is my sufficiency in all things. Rest. Abide in this word. Let this word abide in you. I will never leave thee. Relax. I will be with you to the end of the world. Don't struggle. Don't strive. I in you, and you in me. What else is there? What more is there? I am thy bread, meat, wine, water. I am the resurrection of your body. I, this power within you, is the resurrection. It will rebuild your body if the ears of the locusts have eaten it. Your body can be restored. If you destroy this temple in 3 days, I will raise it up again. I, in the midst of you, remember. I. Not somebody up in holy mountains, not somebody in holy temples. I, in the midst of you, will raise up a temple of your body, a whole new body, if you'll just relax. Relax in me. Relax in the assurance that I have been with you since before Abraham was, and that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, and that I am the resurrection of thy body. I am the resurrection of thy home. I am the resurrection of thy fortune, of thy fame. I am the resurrection of anything you have ever lost. I am the resurrection and I am the life. And this I that I'm talking about is the I that is within you, closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Only don't seek me for loaves and fishes. Seek me for me. Seek to abide in me. Seek to know me aright. Me, the me in the midst of you. Seek to find your peace and safety and security within me. Don't seek loaves and fishes. Seek the realization of me. And I'll be the presence that will go out before you and make the crooked places straight. I will be the love that greets you in every soul. Now, in a complete relaxed meditation, stay completely relaxed and give up this world. Give up all desires. You have the capacity now. Give up all desires. Accept the desire to know God aright. Drop the concern for health, for supply, for home. Drop anxiety for friends or relatives. Drop that all into God. If God can't take care of it, you can't. But God can, if you surrender it. You can't hold on to it and surrender it. You can't surrender it and hold on to it. Either you're going to hold on to it and prove in the end that you couldn't do it, or you are going to surrender it. Anxiety for yourself or anyone else. Concern for yourself or anyone else. Or for your patients, or for your students, surrender. I surrender all things unto God. I'm not withholding anything. I'm keeping no mental images in my mind to be concerned about. Only to know thee aright. Only to live forever in the remembrance that thou art in me, and that thy whole kingdom is within me. I am resting in thy grace. I am resting in thy peace. Father, forgive me that I have ever sought anything but thy peace, the health of thy countenance. Father, forgive me that I have ever sought anything but thy grace, or felt that I ever needed anything but thy grace. Thy grace is my sufficiency. I live by thy grace. I live because I am an heir of God, joint heir with Christ. Earthly woes, earthly concern, earthly anxieties drop away because I am home in thee. I am one with thee. Thou art in me and I in thee. Therefore we are one. And in that oneness is my completeness, my wholeness, my perfection. If I had thee and the whole world, I would have nothing more than if I had thee alone. Constantly to dwell in the realization that where thou art, I am, that we are inseparable, indivisible, and thou always knowest my need. Thou always knowest my need, and it is thy good pleasure to give me the kingdom that is already established within me, for I and the Father are one. Never to forget, thou wilt never leave me nor forsake me. It will make no difference if I am good or bad, rich or poor, sick or well. Thou wilt never forsake me. And in the realization of that, the lost years of the locust are restored, and I am whole again. Just through the realization of thy presence, just through the realization of inseparability and indivisibility, I and my Father are one. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father that sent me, for I and the Father are one. God is the Father and God is the Son. We are one. And in this conscious oneness, there is my allness. The sun, the moon, the stars, they're all up in the sky, all under God's government. The tide is coming in and going out under God's government. Trees are growing, grass is growing, plants are growing, flowers are growing. Fruit is ripening, all under God's grace. The cattle are grazing on 1,000 hills under God's grace. Coal is in the ground, diamonds in the ground, pearls in the sea, all under God's grace. Things that we are using from the ground today were placed there thousands of years ago. Things that will be needed thousands of years from now are forming in the earth and in the water now. Think, 3/4 of this earth is water. And now that they can draw the salt out of it, we have fresh water all around this globe for every need, all provided by God's grace. God's grace is indeed our sufficiency. God has given us this fresh air. All things have been given to us by God's grace, not by might, not by power, not by prayer, but by God's grace. And so I can relax myself into God and receive the same God government that this earth is receiving in its movements. I am in thee, and thou art in me. And we are one. Take no anxious thought for anything in the external realm. Take no anxious thought for anyone in the external realm. The kingdom of God is established within you. God's grace is our sufficiency. Take no thought. That is it. Thank you.